Today we're going to continue our series on God's care, which we began at the beginning of 2018, looking at many of the ways God cares for us. And today and next session, we'll be talking about thinking big. Now, thinking big does not mean you necessarily have to dream up some great scheme and try to accomplish it. You certainly can. But the thinking big I want to talk about is thinking about how big God is and how he is able to come through for us in ways we can't even imagine. So rather than have our thinking stuck on the situation we're in and why won't this situation work out, think about how God can do so much more for us and find ways to take care of us and bring us deliverance and supply our needs and direct our paths in ways we couldn't even imagine. And to help us think big, both this session and next session, we'll look at some wonderful records in God's Word about how God went way above and beyond anything anybody can imagine. And we'll start with a verse today, and we'll start with the same one next week, too. 2 Chronicles 25 and verse 9. Here in 2 Chronicles 25. In verse 9, we read, "And Amaziah said to the man of God, 'What shall we do for the 100 talents? That's a lot of money. Talent was a measure of gold that was pretty heavy, so he gave him 100, well, gold or silver. So he gave him a lot of money. "What shall I give for the 100 talents which I've given to the army of Israel?" Because what had happened was Amaziah, the king of Judah, was being invaded. And so he hired the northern kingdom of Israel to sort of as mercenaries to help him out. But the man of God came to Amaziah and said, "Don't trust the Israelites because they're pretty goofed up and into idolatry right now, and they'd actually do you more harm than good." But Amaziah said, "But what about all the money I gave them?" And look what the prophet says back. Let's look again in 2 Chronicles 25:9. "But Amaziah said to the man of God, 'But what shall we do for the 100 talents which I have given to the army of Israel?' And the man of God answered, 'The Lord is able to give thee much more than this.'" And that is the theme of both this session and next session, where we look at an aspect of God's care where we have to think big. We all have situations where we lose something or something we have changed, or whether it's a job or a car or a house or a physical something we own or a relationship or an organization you belong to. I mean, there's so many different things that are parts of our lives. Sometimes they just change. Sometimes they're not there anymore. And you wonder, how am I going to get along without that? Well, here's the answer. God is able to give thee much more than this. Doesn't mean you want to throw away everything you have and destroy every friendship you have and quit every group you belong to. I'm not saying that, but whether you like it or not, these things often change in life. And you have two choices. You can sit around and grieve forever. It's okay to grieve for a little while just to sort of get through the emotion of the loss. But at some point, you have to pick yourself up and move on. And you can spend your whole life missing what you lost and be negative about it, or you can look to God and realize God is able to give thee much more than this. And then it's sort of fun because you don't know what's going on. You don't know what's going to be there. It reminds me when I was a teenager and we'd hitchhike all over the country or drive all over the country. You sort of leave everything behind.
Has left the conference.
All right, they lost their connection, I guess. Hope they come back. There are times in life you just lose stuff. So, but I remember being younger and just, you know, throwing everything in the car or throwing everything in a backpack and just heading across the country. All the comforts of home, all the friendships, the parents, the siblings, the job or the school, that's all behind. And you just go out and say, what is next? And it was just exciting to see what doors God opened and what great things happened when we did that. Well, I'm not suggesting you leave everything at home and hitchhike to California, but to have the attitude in life that no matter what it is, that may be an issue in your life, either something you're missing or something you're trying to accomplish or something you lost, some endeavor you're trying to do, we can just move on. We can look forward to the excitement of what else God will give us. Because God is not limited by one circumstance or one person or one group or one material thing. He is so much larger and so much more capable of providing for us. That's why we just want to think big. So again, in 2 Chronicles 25:9, King Amaziah was all worried about his 100 talents, which is a lot of money, but God said, don't worry, the Lord is able to give thee much more than this. And if you read through the record, Amaziah has some ups and downs, but he comes out fine. Now, another record that's a favorite of many in the Old Testament is the record of Hezekiah, a wonderful king who loved God, but he had his problems too. And he stood to lose much more than one friendship or one material thing or one bunch of money. He stood to lose a whole lot more. And let's see how he dealt with it and how God was able to think a lot bigger than Hezekiah did. And Hezekiah at least thought big enough to go to God for help. He didn't know what the answer was, but he knew he could go ask God for help. And there are a lot of situations where that's all we know. We know we're in a mess, but we know God is able to come through for us. And then he does. So 2 Chronicles 32:13.
Has arrived.
Hi, welcome back, guys. Love you. 2 Chronicles 32:13, reading here about Hezekiah. That doesn't look right. We're with Assyria. I wonder if I was supposed to be in 1 Chronicles. Oh, here we go. 2 Chronicles. All right. Yeah, I think we want to be in verse 23. Let me look just a minute here. We'll go back a little bit. Here we have Hezekiah back in 2 Chronicles 32. This is when the king of Assyria sent out his propaganda guy to try to talk them into surrendering. And here in 2 Chronicles 32:13, know ye not that I and my fathers, this is the king of Assyria, have done unto all the people of other lands, were the gods of the nations of those lands anyways able to deliver their lands out of mine hand? Who is there among all the gods of those nations that my fathers utterly destroyed that could deliver his people out of mine hand, that your God should be able to deliver you out of mine hand? That's what the king of Assyria is saying. He's saying, I'm so tough, I beat all the other gods. Well, the other gods were just statues. It's easy to beat a statue. Now, therefore, verse 15, let not Hezekiah deceive you, nor persuade you on this matter, neither yet believe him, for no god of any nation or kingdom was able to deliver his people out of my hand, and out of the hand of my fathers. How much less shall your God deliver you out of mine hand? And of course, Hezekiah didn't believe him, and he told his people not to believe him, and God brought great deliverance. The king of Assyria woke up one morning and found most of his soldiers had died of the plague, and then he went back to Assyria and was murdered by his own two sons. So God sort of had the last laugh on him. God was much bigger and more powerful. So Hezekiah gets through this very tough time where he's being invaded by this huge army. You know, it'd be like if I was sitting here in little Arlington, Virginia, which is sort of a medium-sized suburb of D.C., you know, and the entire U.S. military decided to attack Arlington. We have a pretty good police force here in Arlington, but I don't think they'd stand up against the Marines and the Air Force and the Navy having a boat out in the Potomac River shelling us. That's sort of the way it was when the king of Assyria went to attack Jerusalem. They had a pretty good army there in Jerusalem, but nothing like the Assyrians. So Hezekiah got through that very difficult time. And then let's read down the page to verse 22. Or verse 23. Or, well, let's actually go back to verse 22. Thus the Lord saved Hezekiah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem from the hand of Sennacherib, the king of Assyria, and from the hand of all other, and guided them on every side. And many brought gifts unto the Lord to Jerusalem, and presents to Hezekiah king of Judah, so that he was magnified in the sight of all nations from thenceforth. So he went from a situation where it looked like he was going to be totally annihilated to where he had great peace, and everybody brought him presents. They figured any king that had a god like that take care of him, they were going to be nice to. So he went from being at the total bottom to the total top as far as the kings in that region, simply by trusting God. But then something else happened. We'll keep reading. Verse 24. In those days Hezekiah was sick to the death, and he prayed unto the Lord, and he spake unto him, and he gave unto a sign. And it actually goes into more detail in the other records in Kings, but Hezekiah was in his palace, and he was sick, and the prophet came to him and said, get your affairs in order, because you're going to die. And Hezekiah turned his eyes to the wall and cried and prayed and asked God to help him. And before the prophet even got out of the palace back into the street, God told him to go back and said he had added 10 years to Hezekiah's life. So imagine that. Imagine getting news that you're about to die, and then you pray, and somehow God finds a way to turn the sickness around and you get another 10 years. That's what I'm talking about, thinking big. Whether you're attacked by the Assyrians or whether you're here, you're about to die, it doesn't matter. God is able to do great things. And that's why we look
at... arrived.
Welcome. Welcome. And that's why we look to God and just expect him to bless us and take care of us. Okay, here we go. Let's get going to Daniel chapter 3. Ezra, Nehemiah, Daniel.
There has left go. The conference.
Okay, well, people are just going, coming and going today. Ezra, Nehemiah, Esther, Job, Psalms, Proverbs, Ecclesiastes, Song of Solomon, Isaiah, Jeremiah, Lamentations, Ezekiel, Daniel, Hosea, Joel. Okay. Right after Ezekiel, we have Daniel. Let's go to Daniel. Yeah, God's always trying to raise our vision. We're always, at least I am, trying to bring it down. I look at one circumstance, and I want it to go a certain way, and if it doesn't, I sometimes get a little discouraged and bummed out, and then I would say, wait a minute, God can do much more than this. Even if this situation doesn't work out, he has another way to supply and provide and direct our paths. So Daniel chapter 3 and verse 16. This is when Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to get thrown into the fiery furnace. Daniel 3:16, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful, not anxious, not a big hurry to answer thee in this matter.
Miriam has arrived.
Welcome, Mom. So we're here in...
Hi, Bruce.
Welcome, Mother. We're in Daniel chapter 3, verse 16. So just...
We had a little trouble getting it.
Well, I'm glad.
Can I take this door into the other room?
Sure.
That one.
It'll work anywhere. You just carry it wherever you want to take it. Mom, glad you could join us. What a great thing.
Well, I'm standing at the front desk.
Oh.
So what are you teaching on then?
Well, we're just about to read Daniel chapter 3 about Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. So,
Daniel 3.
Yeah, Daniel 3:16.
Okay.
So you can either look it up or just listen, whatever is easier for you.
Oh. Well, I don't want to stand here.
Well, you should be
able... Daniel 3:16.
Yeah, can't you go inside and sit down somewhere? The phone should work anyway. You're on a phone with a wire, a landline. I gotcha. Okay. Well...
Yeah.
Okay, well, do the best you can, Mom. We're glad to have you either way. But anyway, we're in Daniel...
Has left the conference.
Okay. Well, here we are back in...
Okay.
Here we are back in Daniel 3:16.
Daniel 3:16. Okay, I'll go look it up.
Okay, you can just listen.
Bye-bye.
I'll read it. Okay, bye-bye, Mom. Here we go in Daniel 3:16. Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego answered and said to the king, O Nebuchadnezzar, we're not careful, we're not anxious to answer thee in this matter. If it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace, and he will deliver us out of thine hand, O king. Because the king said, you better, the king said, you know, you better worship my idol or I'll throw you in the furnace. And they said, we're not going to worship your idol.
Marian has left the conference.
Okay, verse 17. So they said, no, we're not going to worship your idol. And it says, if it be so, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. So even if you do throw us in, God will deliver us. And he'll deliver us out of thine hand. But then look what he says, verse 18. But even if not, be it known unto thee, O king, we're still not going to serve thy gods nor worship the golden image which thou hast set up. So they knew God could deliver them from the furnace. I mean, picture that. Picture being thrown in a really hot furnace. That wouldn't be healthy for you. But he said, God can deliver us, and even if he doesn't deliver us, even if somehow we goof up and we don't trust him and we don't get delivered, we're still not going to worship your silly idol. So they were pretty clear. And of course, God did deliver them. You know the record. They were thrown in, and when they were brought out, they didn't even smell like smoke. They didn't have one eyebrow singed. The fire was so hot that the guys that threw them in expired just trying to throw them in the fire. So things were really hot, but God came through for them. That's why we have to think big. If you see a big furnace and you're about to be thrown in, that might be the only, that might focus your mind, might be all you think about. But we have to think God can do much more. God helped Amaziah, even though he already paid 100 talents to the Israelites. God helped Hezekiah, both from the Assyrians and when he was about to die. And here God was able to help Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego from the fiery furnace. That's how big God can be. Now let's go to Daniel chapter 6 and verse 18. Okay, so here's Daniel in the lion's den. Well, let's go back to verse 16. You may recall this, that Daniel's colleagues in the Babylonian government got very jealous of Daniel doing such a good job, and they tried to find a way to get rid of him. Sounds like here in Washington some weeks. Don't like somebody, you find, try to find a way to get rid of them. Well, they thought they could get rid of him. They couldn't find any waste, fraud, or abuse or scandal in his life. So they figured if we're going to get rid of him, it's only going to be because he worships this God of Israel. So they sort of fooled the king of Babylon into passing a law that said if you worship any other than the king of Babylon, you get thrown in the den of lions. Of course, Daniel didn't care. He wasn't going to worship the king of Babylon. He just kept going to his room every day, 3 times a day, facing towards Jerusalem and praying. He kept doing it. And of course, his colleagues, talk about office politics, his colleagues ganged up on him and got him thrown in the den of the lions. And their laws were such that once the king signed a law, you couldn't change it. So even though the king of Babylon knew he'd been tricked, there was nothing he could do in their legal system. So, here we go. Let's back up a little bit. Daniel 6, we'll go to verse 16. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. Now the king spake and said unto Daniel, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. You see, the king of Babylon, even though he wasn't a believer in the true God, the God of Israel, he had seen Daniel trust God and walk with God and listen to God so much that he had respect for the God of Israel that he would protect Daniel. So the king was thinking big. The king knew God's care for Daniel was great. The king knew that even though as a general rule you throw somebody in the den of lions, they get eaten up and they're gone, the king of Babylon knew better. So he said, thy God whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee. Verse 17. And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den. And the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, and that the purpose might not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace and passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning and went in haste unto the den of lions. And when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said to Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God whom thou servest continually able to deliver thee from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever! My God hath sent his angel and hath shut the lions' mouths, and they have not hurt me, for as much as before him innocency was found in me, and also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. Then was the king exceeding glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found upon him. Why? Because he believed in his God. That's what the king wanted to know. He went to Daniel and said, Is your God able to deliver thee from the lions? And of course he was. So that's why we have to think big. I don't care if you're in the lion's den. I don't care if you got the army of Assyria attacking you. I don't care if somebody's told you only have a short time to live. God is able to do much greater for us. And that's why we have to think big and raise our vision. And here in Daniel chapter, well, we read that. Let's go to Acts. Acts chapter 20. Such great stuff here. Acts chapter 20 and verse 25. And now behold, I know that ye all, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom, shall see my face no more. This is when Paul is saying goodbye to the Ephesian leaders in Ephesus. Wherefore, verse 26, I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you all the counsel of God. Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God, which he hath purchased with his own blood. For I know this, that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. Also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn every one night and day with tears. And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up. See, the word of his grace is able to build you up. That's the important thing. There are going to be things that would happen, and if you've read the history of Christianity, you know everything he says is true. First thing Christians want to do is point fingers at each other, accuse each other, and come up with some new doctrine they just made up to draw people away. It happens all the time. It's very unfortunate, but it is the history of Christianity. But the thing we have that's going for us is the word of God's grace. Verse 32, And now, brethren, I commend you to God and to the word of his grace, which is able to build you up and to give you an inheritance among all them which are sanctified. You see, that's the word of his grace. That'll build you up. That is the thing that you can take that'll always be there for you. So circumstances are going to come and go. People are going to come and go. Things will change in your life as time goes by. But God and the word of his grace is always able to help you out. Romans 8. Now, we've been talking about things that where God is able to take care of us. Now here's something that's not able to separate you from the love of God. Romans 8, verse 38. For I am persuaded, I'm totally convinced, that neither death, nor life, nor angels, nor principalities, nor powers, nor things present, nor things to come, nor height, nor depth, nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus our Lord. See, nothing out there is able to separate us. See, God is able to do anything we need, and nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. That means that no matter what happens in your life, no matter who's around, no matter what the circumstances are, God will still be there to love you, to support you, to help you. And nothing can ever, ever, ever change it. So on the positive side, God is able to provide all you need. On the negative side, not so much the negative side, but were there something negative that tried to separate you from the love of God, nothing would be able to do it. Isn't that great? Look at another one, 2 Corinthians 9. 2 Corinthians 9. Okay, here we go. 2 Corinthians chapter 9. And verse 8. And God is able. Imagine, he's still able, even in the New Testament, not just in the Old Testament records. God is able to make all grace, and grace is divine favor. Grace is just where God loves us, so he gives us stuff because he wants to. Not because we earned it, not because we necessarily deserve it, but because he just loves us. That's what grace is, divine favor. So God is able to make all grace abound toward you, that ye always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. A lot of alls and everys in there. Yeah, aren't there? Let's read that again. God is able to make all grace abound toward you. He's able. That's why we got to think big about God's ability. He's able to make all of his divine favor abound toward you. Imagine that. You know, I mean, I worked for years in Washington, and people wanted to get something out of the government, a contract or money or a new law that would help them make more money or something. They always wanted something. And the same thing happens when there's some rich guy. People always want something from him. Buy this. Donate to this. They're all excited that there's this rich guy. And can you imagine if that rich guy, you know, focused all his attention and all his money on taking care of you? Oh, that'd be a lot. Well, God is much bigger than some rich guy or some government. And what's it say here? 2 Corinthians 9:8, God is able to make all grace, all of his divine favor abound towards who? You! That's why we have to think big. He can make all of his divine favor abound toward you, with the result that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. See, God does want us to go help people, but he gives us everything we need to do it. A good company will do that. They want you to go deliver a bunch of stuff. They'll give you a truck. They might give you lunch money. They'll probably give you gas money, because they want you to do the job. So they'll give you what you need to go do it. Well, God makes all grace abound towards us, so we can have all sufficiency in all things, with the result that we can abound to every good work. We can reach out and help others because God has supplied what we need. And again, we have to think big. We have to think way beyond the current circumstances. A lot of times we sort of think very little. Well, I'm in this situation, I got this income, I got this friend, I got this problem, I got this issue, and that's all we can see. Well, think, God has endless ways to give you income. He has endless ways to get your friends. He has endless ways to solve the situation you're in. He just, whatever it is that may be bugging you, God can go way beyond. So we need to think big, that God's care is so great for us that from our point of view, there are no limits. About the only thing that limits God is people's freedom of will. So you can pray all you want for him to change somebody else's mind. If that person doesn't want to change their mind, that's their choice. But God can find somebody else who can do whatever it is you need, who's willing to listen to God and change his or her mind. So God will always come through. May not be in the way you want. Likely won't be in the way. I mean, may not be in the way you think he will. But he will always come through for you in mighty ways. So God is able to make all grace abound to you, verse 8, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, may abound to every good work. Now let's go to Ephesians 3:20. This is another one that's just almost unbelievably radical about God's ability to take care of us. Okay, Ephesians 3:20. Here we go, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that is able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that works in us. That's what God's able to do. It'd be great if God could do everything I could ask or even think. But he can do above all I can ask or think. He can do abundantly above all we ask or think. Matter of fact, he can do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think. That's what God's able to do. So we have to sort of take the shackles off our mind that might be holding us back from thinking, gee whiz, I got this problem. If it doesn't work this one way, then I'm toast. No, you're not. It just means that one way didn't work out. God has 100 other ways, or maybe 1,000 ways that he can help you with that. And he knows, and he'll find a way, and he will come through for you abundantly. So let's look at that again, Ephesians 3:20. Now unto him that's able to do exceeding abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us. Let's go back to Romans, talking about Abraham. He was in a tough situation. He was very old and never had kids, and his wife was almost as old, and she was barren. So perhaps the way Mary had Jesus Christ is the most challenging way from a reproductive situation, where a woman, without introducing a male sperm, either through regular intercourse or through the sort of test tube insertions people do now, Mary still had a baby because God just created the male sperm in her. Well, this was almost as tough, in that Sarah was very old and barren, and Abraham was very old, yet God somehow brought it to pass that they produced a baby. Very hard to accept and believe that that could be true. Most people would just admit, oh, we're not going to have kids. And for many people, I'm sure that's fine. But in this situation, they really wanted an heir, and they prayed, and God came through. Let's look at it here in Romans 4, verse 20. Here in Romans 4 and verse 20, he, Abraham, staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief. When God told him, when he was like 100 years old, and I think Sarah was about 90 and barren, he staggered not at the promise of God through unbelief, but was strong in believing, giving the glory to God, and being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. Because God had promised him a son by Sarah. And he was fully persuaded. He was convinced that what God had promised, he was able also to perform. Now that's our challenge mentally. You go through a tough time, and Tuesday morning at 10 a.m. or Wednesday afternoon at 3 p.m., things are looking really tough. You can either fold mentally and say, okay, this is too much for me, or you can sort of gird up the loins of your mind, as it says in the scriptures, and just say, to heck with it. I don't care what things look like. I am fully persuaded that God is able to perform that which he's promised. God's promised to supply my need, he will. He's promised to direct my paths, he will. He's promised to give me the desires of my hearts, he will. God is able to do that. So let's look at that again in Romans 4, verse 21. Being fully persuaded that what he had promised, he was able also to perform. And then one to close here in Hebrews chapter 7. Now we might read a few more, but we'll definitely get to Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews 7, verse 25. Talking about Jesus Christ. Wherefore, let's go back to verse 24, comparing the priesthood of Jesus Christ and an earlier King Melchizedek with the Levitical priest today. It says, this man, verse 24, of Hebrews 7, Hebrews 7, 24, but this man, Jesus Christ, because he continueth ever, hath an unchangeable priesthood. Wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him. Save them to the uttermost, completely. When you believe in Jesus Christ, you absolutely have eternal life. It doesn't matter what you've done or haven't done. It doesn't matter whether people love you or hate you. It doesn't matter whether things in your life are going perfectly or just a total wreck. It makes no difference. Jesus Christ, verse 25, is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto who? Unto God by him. You have to get to God, but the way you get to God is by his son Jesus Christ. Verse 25, wherefore he is able also to save them to the uttermost that come unto God by him, seeing he ever liveth to make intercession for them. Isn't that amazing? Jesus Christ is still alive today, seated at the right hand of God, praying for us, making intercession for us. He can save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. And that's another great thing that we've talked about in other sessions and we'll do in future sessions, is the great access we have to God through Jesus Christ. Because Jesus Christ, as we know, paid for our sins so that we can pray to God in his name. And as far as God's concerned, it's just as if Jesus Christ is praying and asking for deliverance. So Jesus Christ can save or deliver to the uttermost those that come to God by him. So it's been great looking at these things today. It's been great reading some records. Let's just sort of do a little quick summary, if we can, of all the ways to think big. King Amaziah was worried about the 100 talents he'd given to the army of Israel. God said, don't worry. The Lord is able to give thee much more than this. Hezekiah was attacked by a huge army of Assyrians, but he didn't give in. He trusted God, and he ended up prosperous and safe and victorious, so much so that the other nations brought him tribute. Daniel, the Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego were about to be thrown in a burning fiery furnace, but they said, we don't care. Our God's able to deliver us, and he did. And Daniel, even the king of Babylon, knew that God would deliver Daniel from the lion's den, and he did. We saw that in Acts 20, the word of God's grace is able, even if there's great conflict and great contention and great fights among the believers, the word of God's grace is able to carry you through. And in Romans 8, we found there's nothing that is able to separate us from the love of God. Absolutely nothing. It's one thing you will always have in your life. People may come and go, jobs may come and go, houses may come and go, cars will certainly come and go, and so many other things will come and go in life. But nothing is able to separate us from the love of God. And in 2 Corinthians, we saw that God is able to make all grace, all divine favor abound toward you, that you always, having all sufficiency in all things, can abound to every good work. In Ephesians, we saw that God is able to do exceeding abundantly above everything we ask or think. And Abraham was fully persuaded, knowing that God was able to perform that which he promised. And then in Hebrews, Jesus Christ, as our Savior, seated at the right hand of God, making intercession for us, is able absolutely to save to the uttermost those that come to God by him. So we have to raise our thinking. We have to think bigger. When you run into a situation this week where things aren't going the way you want and you think you've reached a dead end, say, okay, looks like a dead end to me. But sometimes you feel like you're a mouse in a maze and you can't see around the next corner. Well, believe me, God has a better perspective. He can see the way out of there and he'll show you. And if he's got to open a door in the maze or blow the maze up, doesn't matter. He'll take care of you. That's our God. So it's been a great session. When we meet in 2 weeks, Charlie's Place, south of Fredericksburg. I'll continue on the same theme with some more great records about how God is so able and capable. We just have to think bigger about how great God's care is for us. So Heavenly Father, I thank you for these wonderful, delightful saints. I pray for them. I pray for Dee Dee's health continuing to improve, and that whatever it is she needs, whether it's prayer, scripture, medical care, diet, whatever it is that's going to help her, we just pray that you will get that for her. We picture her healthy and strong and continuing to walk with you. And I pray for every person here for whatever challenges may be facing them in lives, and we all have challenges. May you just blow everyone's mind. Just totally amaze us with your great deliverance and the ways you can come through for us. And may we look back at the end of this coming week with great thanksgiving, remembering all you've done for us, all you've supplied, the many ways you've brought us victory. And I thank you for this, for everybody here on the line. Thank you for a safe trip Tuesday, taking Mom and Dad back north to their home in Connecticut. And may everyone on the phone have a great week. And may we pray for one another and expect your blessings in all that we do. In the name of Jesus Christ, amen. Well, God bless you, wonderful saints. You have a great 2 weeks. Listen to anything you want on the website, and if the Lord tarries, we'll talk to you on the 11th. God bless you.
Have fun. Thank you.
Okay, bye-bye.
Thanks.